So, Leo, if you could just start by introducing yourself.
Yeah, sure, Annie. So my name's Leo Ross. I'm the Director of Occupational Therapy at QE2 Hospital in Brisbane and for the Brisbane South area. QE2 is a small metropolitan hospital.
And what research findings have you been implementing?
We've just come to the end of a three-year project on trying to increase the use of pressure-reducing devices to reduce incidence of pressure injury in acute hospital inpatients. So that's the area that we've been looking at.
And the evidence is?
Oh, so we originally started with a Cochrane review, but the Cochrane review is inconclusive with regards to the use of devices or the effectiveness of devices, particularly cushions.
And how recent was that?
I think that was 2010.
Uh-huh. That's the Cullen one?
9-10, yeah, I think
so. The Cullen review.
Yeah, so we are then using the Queensland Health clinic practice guidelines for reduction of pressure injury. Basically, which Queensland Health didn't, I think, publish in about 2009.
Okay. So, yeah. So findings from research embedded in a statewide.
Yeah, so it's pretty much good practice point level of evidence. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the basis of it.
And the practice or behaviours that you're aiming to change, and in who?
Yeah, so what we've been trying to do is increase the utilisation of devices, particularly pressure-reducing cushions and mattresses by patients. But obviously that's facilitated through provision of those devices by the nurses particularly, but also other members of the multidisciplinary team, such as OTs or physios. But nurses have been our largest target group because obviously the issue around patient admission times being on the weekend and after hours and things like that, it's really the nurses that have to drive the rollout of devices in a timely manner.
So it's the use of or the prescription of
something? Well, there's actually been a number of things. We've been trying to obviously increase our screening rate as well, but specifically we want at-risk patients to receive a cushion within 12 hours of admission and also a pressure-reducing mattress within 12 hours of admission. That's kind of the target.
All ages of patients at risk?
Absolutely. So we use the Waterlow Risk Assessment Tool and some other local screening or statewide screening tools to actually identify the at-risk patients.
Right.
And we've got a sort of a cut-off, and then basically anyone that meets that cut-off should get the device.
Okay. So the behaviour is the behaviour of the nurses and or maybe the OTs, but and their delivery of or prescription of the device and screening is also a screening of people at risk is also another behaviour.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, what we found was pretty standard in that our screening rate, the screening and assessment rate was fairly good, but utilisation rate was poor. So.
Mm. Which leads me on to the next question. How did you know there was a problem or an evidence practice gap initially?
Yes, well, I suppose the initial driver was that the hospital received a 13% pressure injury incidence rate on one of the facility audits that we did. So, and that was not within the target range of 10% or lower, so that was obviously a problem. So we then explored it further and did some of our own baseline audits where we basically just went around and checked every patient in every bed in the whole facility. And we found that we had about a 4% appropriate utilisation of cushions and about a 10% rate for mattresses. So that's in at-risk patients. So that means patients that are high risk, only about 4% of them were getting cushions and 10% mattresses, which we thought was pretty bad.
And what would be a reasonable percentage?
We think that basically 80, 90% at-risk patients should get them, yeah.
So you're starting at a low base.
I think it's
a good way for implementation.
That's right. I mean, obviously there's that grey area with the screening cut-off, so there's going to be some patients where it's possibly not appropriate, even though they might be at risk on the screening tool.
Yeah. Okay, and was that audit something that was done routinely or it was done specifically?
Basically, at that stage, the facility did an annual facility audit of just a pressure incidence. So we decided to dig deeper. So we did a lot of our own audits, the spot audits, where we actually started to dig deeper and look for more indicators, because really the only indicator they had was facility incidence on a given day, whereas we wanted to start to look at some of the process indicators like the rate of screening and the rate of utilisation of the devices. We also looked at patient posture in terms of when we came to see patients, what postures they were in and, you know, what positions they were in.
Okay. And what did you do in terms of strategies or interventions to help improve the problem or change practice, and with who?
Well, we use quite a structured approach because we did do a concurrent research project on EBP implementation along with this. So we use quite a structured approach. We chose the Paris model of EBP implementation, which is the Promoting Action Research on Implementation in Health Services. It's a bit of a horrible acronym. And particularly as part of that process, we use the Organisational Readiness for Change, the ORCA assessment, which is a structured EBP implementation survey which goes through different areas like barriers to change and workplace culture, resources, and getting the staff to identify what the barriers were in the different areas that we had to overcome. Once we did that, we used some focus groups and stakeholder consultation meetings in order to, get agreement on the evidence, get agreement on to problem solve some of the barriers and then get some agreement and consensus around that. There was a lot of that initially, and then obviously we had ongoing problem solving meetings and focus groups throughout the 3-year period at fairly regular intervals in order to address the barriers in more detail. So that was kind of, the communication consultation side of things and the problem solving. Our main strategies were around education. So we had all the standard stuff, you know, rolling nursing staff in services, multi-disc in services, grand rounds, posters, process flow cards, policies, procedures, all of that kind of stuff. We also then used train the trainer for the nurses. So we, the facility identified nurse champions, pressure injury champions on the wards, and we then assisted to train those people up so that they would deliver the ongoing education, also nursing induction training, that kind of stuff, to try and sort of bed it down as core business. We had obviously some strategies around purchasing of devices because we didn't have enough devices to use, so we had to do business cases and get resources to purchase devices. And then a major part of our strategy was obviously audit and feedback. So we did pretty much, well, we did a lot of baseline audits, but then we did quarterly spot audits, and the facility then continued to do its annual incidents audit as well. And we actually, Queensland at that stage, then introduced the Queensland Bedside Audit, which was a statewide adverse incident type audit, and we lobbied to have a few extra indicators put onto that so that we could save resources. So that was the major thrust of the strategies.